Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL Coffee Talks. I'm ABK.
I'm Lukman.
How's it going, bro? Quite a slow game week in FPL. Low scoring game week.
Horrible game week for me. The dream is over for sure. I think next year maybe is the year, but this year is definitely not the year. The dream is shattered already.
It's too soon. There's still 36 more game weeks to go.
My dream is winning the whole thing, bro.
Yeah, I know. No, but it's still 36 more game weeks to go, man. Okay, I cannot rule yourself out.
But I don't know any 6.5 million midfielders, so yeah, that says something. So yeah, my game week was horrible. If you guys want to know my demise, right, stay tuned to the end of the podcast. You can hear more of my bad game week. But other than that,
we've done a bit of reshuffling for the pod, so our team will go towards the end. So you can click on the timestamps to listen in.
Yeah. Alright. Why don't you push socials, bro?
Yeah. So let's start our show. Just follow us on our Telegram channel where we administer our podcast prize league. The season winner will receive a Premier League jersey of choice. So the Premier League jersey is the 2024-2025 jersey. Yeah.
And if you guys are listening now and you guys haven't followed us on Instagram, do follow us on Instagram. The links are embedded at the description. So, yeah, we want to hit 100 followers by last week, actually. But, yeah, just follow us if you haven't.
Yeah. So, without further ado, grab your beverage of choice and let's get into it.
Boss, kopi o satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Ljungberg again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
So we'll start the pod with the first segment, standout performers, players who exceeded our FPL expectations. So basically, these three players, the three 6.5 million midfielders, the three M's are basically the ones that overperform. So they are Mitoma, who scored 12 points, March with 15 points, and Mbeumo with a whopping 16 points. So what we'll do right now, I'll do with ABK, is to rank them immediately and just tell, and then say why we rank them.
Basically, it's also it's a deja vu from last season. Last season, we had also three M's, but instead of McAllister, this time we have Mbeumo. All of them are 6.5 million. So should I start the ranking first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay, so for me, I'll rank Mbeumo first, followed by Mitoma, and followed by March. What about yourself?
I'm actually going opposite. I think my first is actually Solly March. Mm-hmm. I believe he was my second last year, right? I think McAllister was my first, I think. Then Mitoma is second. Actually, Mbeumo is my last pick. Okay, why don't you start with yours? So why Mbeumo over the Brighton mids?
I think the stat that I'm seeing right now is since Ivan Toney has been banned, right? Mbeumo has returned in all of his games since Ivan Toney was banned. So he was banned at the tail end of last season, and then at the start of this season, he's gotten returns in all of the games so far, right? And I like Mbeumo as a asset is because he has penalties in him now. Toney's not around. That's one. Second thing is that I think he becomes the talismanic figure for Brentford once Toney is out. I think most of the game goes through him. So I know what you're going to say. I know you're going to say the stats, his XG, his non-penalty XG, it's not very high.
Actually, right? His XG is quite good, no? Because his goal was a tap-in, right, the last minute. So actually why I rank him third is basically Brighton. I think Brighton is a more sustainable, in terms of XG, right, I think they are a better team than Brentford. And also, you look at Mbeumo, right, two goals, two penalties, right? Sorry, he's got two penalties in two games. It's not sustainable for sure. And his goal, right, is a tap-in last minute against a 10-man Fulham. So if you flip it that way, right, I just think that the Brighton, like, we know De Zerbi, right? De Zerbi is just a minimum 2 XG team. This is minimum. So I'm banking more on the Brighton. Even though they have so-called, like, harder fixtures, but I still think I will back them. And also, okay, let's talk about Solly March. Why I rank him over Mitoma. March is your last, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think okay. Why don't you do your Mitoma over March first?
Why Mitoma over March? I think I just think, as in, this is stats aside, like, I know if you look at stats, then I think much is better. But just from eye test and just from knowing both of them as players, like, I think much is he's not as clinical as Mitoma, like, I feel.
But have you seen his two goals? His new season, new match, bro. So basically,
I don't believe in that. Right? I don't believe in that. Like, I think the history will tell you that he doesn't return as much as he should. That's what I feel.
Okay, true. It's fair. That's fair, lah. But looking at the game, right? Mitoma one shot, one goal. It's basically similar. Like, much got all the stats, right? He shot 5 times, 3 in the box, and his finishes was like, it's like poacher-esque, and his finishing was good, man. Like, we overlooked him preseason because Kudus was coming, right? But he's not coming to Brighton anymore, and he was also injured during preseason. So yep. I still think he and Mitoma are probably as nailed for me. Equally nailed, I would say. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
The nailedness?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with the stats. Stats.
Okay. So my question to you now is that, will you have both of them in your team, given the choice?
I wouldn't, because...
Okay, but will you have one Brighton player and one Embremo in your team?
Yeah.
Or will you just still stick with one of the three?
I don't mind Embremo, actually. This is just in isolation the ranking. But I would, like LC, if I were to choose two between the three, right, I will have agreed. Much and Embremo. Is that your question?
Yep, correct. Yeah, correct. That's what I'm getting at also. So I feel like getting both is good, especially I think midfield is the way to go this season. I think there are a lot of options in the midfield. A lot of good, well-priced option in the midfield. And I think having two 6.5 million midfielders from two different teams, Embremo and Mitoma, I think gives you the diversity in options. So I kind of like it. So if you already have Mitoma, I wouldn't recommend going too much. I mean, it's a kind of sideways transfer. Sure. I mean, same with Much. If you have Much, it's a sideways transfer to Mitoma. So either way, you shouldn't do that transfer. But I feel like having both Mitoma and Embremo, I think it's quite a decent strategy for the five midfield. Yeah.
I love Solly Much, man. 24 points already. He's 12 points per game so far. I don't know. I just think he could go up a level. He could. Okay, let's go on to the next segment, underperformers. So these players, we expect more of these players, so those who underperform. So let's go with the first one is Mo Salah, the Egyptian king. So as a captainer, I captained him this season. So it was a frustrating watch, because he snatched at his chances. He didn't look good. Look at him, right? Without the penalty, he would have blanked for sure. Like, he just didn't look right. But, okay, let's say if you started with him, right, like me, I'll be fine if you sell him to free up some funds. I think that is a fine play, because I want to keep his points to myself, because I'm not going to sell him. But, yeah, I'm just kidding. I mean, like, I still think it's fine to sell him, but then, because he's just not worth the price. I mean, if you look at other choices, right, I still think he's not worth the 12.5, and we're not going to captain him as well. So, do you agree with that?
Yeah, so I agree. So I think for me, I mean, if you follow my team, I actually did a differential captain. But I think from here on out, I do see myself just captaining Haaland all the way out. So if you're not going to change your captain, I think for that 12.5 million price point, I think it's quite steep. I think I mentioned in the previous segment, there's a lot of well-priced midfielders. We just covered the three M's, Embremo, Mitoma, and March, right? So with this like good mid-price option, I feel that it's hard to justify the 12.5 million price tag on Salah, especially if he's not going to give you the returns he did like 2 seasons ago.
But then again, I mean, to caveat that, right, to play devil's advocate, I'm still hopeful that he will return. Firstly is, you don't need a lot of money this season. So let's say, I'd rather sell, maybe even Martinelli over Salah, because Arsenal is not doing well, Man United is not doing well. So keeping him is still fine. And also, when I mentioned earlier that he snatched at chances, right, even at his best, right, he does snatch at chances. So it's more like getting in a groove. I still think he got 8 shots in total so far. So an average of 4 per game. So I still think he will return. And Liverpool attack is still good. So I still think he's fine to hold. But if you want to sell him, right, sell him now. Before Newcastle away. Because after that, right, he has Aston Villa, Wolves and West Ham. That it's harder to sell him in an easier fixture. So yeah, if you want to do it, just cut ties right now. And leave the points to me. Shall we move on? The next one is Yao Pedro. So things changed very quickly. So last game week, he was super essential. He played so well. I was so like happy to have him, right? But
then we got hit by the Deserby roulette, bro.
Correct. So is Pedro a sell? ABK, why don't you? You want me to start first?
I'm thinking about it. I think 5.5 million, I don't think he's a sell at the moment. As in, okay, long term, as in, he's not an immediate sell for me. I think long term, you want to think about getting someone else in that spot. Right? I think because at 5.5, right, we have a very good replacement. And it says it's actually your guy, Yohan Wiesa.
Oh, he's 6 million, bro.
Is it 6 million?
Yes, okay.
0.5 million less. Okay, yeah. So there are a lot of options actually around that 5.5 million bracket. So I do think long term, right, he's a sell. But I wouldn't necessarily think that he's an immediate, I have to get him out of my team kind of.
Okay, so spoiler alert, I already sold Yao Pedro.
You already sold Pedro?
To Yao Wiesa, the guy you just mentioned. Because I was just nice, so I had to move quickly on a Sunday morning. I'll explain my reasons later at the end of the pod. So why I think he's a sell. I mean, if you have a good bench, maybe you can hold on to him. And he's really 5.6. So if you drop in price, you still won't lose any money. Okay, that's fair. But I don't have a bench also. That's one of the reasons. But looking at Enciso in that game, right? He is just fire, man. He just bossed the game. And when I was watching the highlights, right, I was thinking, okay, Enciso is a more natural 10 than Pedro. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't know whether it's still 50-50. There's enough doubt that I think, and also Enciso is from last season, he really played well. You know what I mean? He scored a winner against Man City. So I'm thinking, there's no way Enciso is going to be dropped. But I know it's still the roulette factor. But I still think there's enough doubt for me to immediately sell him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else? Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Kopi Takeaway. So this segment is where we talk about assets we are watching out for and maybe some trends and strategies for the upcoming game weeks. So the first topic we'll talk about, the battle between the mid-price forward. So we'll do a ranking again. So the three ranking is Jackson versus Alvarez versus Yohan Wiesa. So I said earlier, okay, before we go to this, right, I want to ask you, I already said Pedro is a sell. And then you own Watkins, right? Is Watkins a sell to you?
No, not at the moment. Yeah. I think he's just, I mean, at 8.8 million, I think he might be quite steep. I think there are a lot of, I mean, we are covering now the options that are much cheaper in price points. But I do feel that Watkins, for me, it's not a fire that I need to fight at the moment. I feel like he's still ticking along with his assists, and I do think he will get goals in the next few games still.
Yeah, I think for me, he is a possible sell, especially if you want to enable funds, right? Because he's 8 million. If you sell him to Wiesa, Jackson, and Alvarez, you get money from there. And these three forwards that we are discussing right now are the one that is coming into form and coming into good fixtures also. So that's, okay, why don't we rank them?
Yeah, I think one thing I got to say about that also is that I think this season, I think we only have two premiums, Salah and Haaland. Everyone else, I think it's very easy to make a good 11.
Good 13.
We can even have like good 13, good bench. So I don't think we are kind of hard up to really squeeze in like the best value per point kind of players.
Actually, okay, from game week 9, right, Liverpool fixtures turn good. So if you want to squeeze in Salah and Trent, right, then we probably would need some good value picks. So yeah, that's something to take note for right now. Maybe it's fine, but in the future, like a wildcard, you will need some of these good picks. And also, like, chasing value may be important. I know you don't think it's important, but I still think that it could come important, especially if Liverpool becomes like a top two, top three team, right? And then you want Trent and Salah. So anyway, I'll start the ranking. Okay, so the first guy is Wiesa, the guy I just bought in. My second is actually Jackson, and third is Alvarez.
Okay, I think we have my top is actually Alvarez.
Okay.
My thought is Alvarez, followed by Wiesa, followed by Jackson.
Right, so Jackson is last. Okay.
Jackson is last. Yeah, yeah. So I feel like I did watch the highlights of the Chelsea game, right? And I feel like he looks good. I mean he does look good. I think there were a lot of chances that he created, and there was a lot of chances that he was at the end of. Right, but I still feel that for Jackson, right, it's a wait and see for me. Like, I feel that I will need to see points take along from him first before I bring him in. No, I do. I know what you're gonna say. I know you're gonna say the three good fixtures, the next few fixtures for Chelsea is really, really good.
I agree with your point on Jackson. I agree. I think I have him at second, but I want to hear about your Alvarez. I'm quite surprised that you rank him first.
Yeah. So
are you confident that he's nailed?
Yeah. I do think so. I wouldn't say Alvarez is a nailed asset but I feel that it looks like that's how Pep is going to want, or wants to play him down the right side. I mean, he's been starting him for the past two games on that side, and I think for is Alvarez 6.5 million?
Yes.
6.5, right? Yeah, for 6.5 million, he's a very good value for a Man City asset. I mean, Man City is a super strong team, right? Against any team in the league, they can easily score 3-4, and Haaland can Alvarez can easily get at the end of two or three attacking returns every game. So I think that potential there, I think it's worth the Pep roulette, as you say.
Over Yuan Wissa, bro, really?
Yeah.
Guaranteed starter. Okay, my point with Alvarez, right, is I will prefer him if Haaland is out. Because right now he's not playing forward, right? He's basically out of position in a way. And if you look at his central, and I mean he's central, but he's playing more like a running eight, like a attacking eight. And actually his goal was from his only shot. And in the game week one, he created more than he shot. So I still think even if he plays right, it's not the best in terms of his position. That's what I'm thinking. I'd rather have Foden, of course, because for Man City attacker. But yeah,
that was what I was gonna.
Okay, wait. Let me make my case for Wissa. So
yeah.
So in this game, right, he got 1.4 xG. 7 shots, right? So I really like what I saw from him. I think everything you said, Mbeumo was the main guy. I disagree. I think the game really went through. Wissa got all the chances. I think in this formation, they played a 4-3-3, right? So Mbeumo was right wing and Wissa was in the middle.
Yeah. So basically, tactically speaking, right, Brentford operates the same way they did last season, sort of like with just Wissa standing in for Tony at the moment, right?
Correct. So in the harder game, right? In the harder games, they play a 3-5-2, which is like in game week one, right? When they played Spurs, it was Wissa and Mbeumo up front. So in both systems, I like Wissa's chances. That's why I think Mbeumo is. I know he scored two goals in this game, right? I think he was a bit wider in this game, compared to in game week one. So yeah, I still think Wissa is. I mean, yeah, I like my chances with Wissa, and I rate him. I mean, he was my surprise pick last season. Actually, anyway, this season, right? I choose Buendia, right? But I changed it to Wissa, right? You know, right, bro?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm banking on yours is...
Pau. Still Pau Torres.
Yeah, so Pau Torres.
That's my differential option, I think.
Not Vardiol. Oh, yeah, we don't know. Yeah. That's the signing of the season, right?
Yeah, Vardiol is my signing of the season.
Okay. Yeah. I'm lucky my chances against Pau. But anyway, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. I think Darren picked Alvarez, actually, right?
So, Yes.
It's quite interesting to see how he develops. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, is there anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, I still think Chelsea is still a good team. I know they lost in this game, but they should have won. They should have gotten something from the game. And yeah, I just want to mention this because you hate him and I love him. I think Raheem Sterling is someone that I just love him, bro. He had 15 penalty box touches. I know he didn't have any end product, but we know he's there. He's done it before, and he looked good. So yeah, at 7 million, right? I think he's good. He's good to go, man. If you're looking to like buy a 7 million midfielder, right? If you're looking to sell whoever, like Martinelli or Salah or the menu guys, I still think he's worth a pun. If you can't afford Foden, I mean, I'd rather go for Foden. But let's say you can't afford 7.5.
Yeah. So just from this section, right? Just two kind of assets to watch. I feel like it's pretty good. It's Foden and who you mentioned, Sterling. These two options, Foden and Sterling,
The English duo. So okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Man U Spurs. So it was a great game. So let's go on straight to it. Before that, Man United for these first two games, right? 4.3 xG. And only scored one goal. No penalties, by the way. They could have gotten a penalty. So yeah, I think Rashford and Bruno owners are unlucky. So they play Nottingham Forest at home. So if Rashford and Bruno Hassel?
Definitely not this game week. I feel like against Nottingham Forest, you should stick to these assets. I think the underlying stats is there for both Rashford and Bruno. I think especially more for Bruno, actually. I think in terms of Bruno, he was at the end of chances and he was also actually creating chances and was behind all the free kicks. So if you have Bruno especially, right, I think don't sell this game week. If next game week they don't return, I think that's a point where
they play
sell.
After in game week 4.
So yeah, because they play after in game week 4. Yeah, so that's a good time to sell, but not this game week, I feel.
Rashford doesn't look good, man. Rashford doesn't look good, though. I think they need Hoyland to come on and him to play left wing for him to look better. But right now, I think if you were to sell one, right, I think just sell Rashford and keep Bruno.
I think because I only saw the results first after I watched the highlights after that. I think the results flatter Spurs. I do think Man U could have gotten something in this game. I think we've easily been a draw, actually. I think Spurs managed to just eke out two goals from this game and then managed to keep out the Man U from scoring. So, as in Man U assets, I wouldn't recommend for a sell. I do think you can keep them, especially against home to Forest.
Hold it. And also Luke Shaw created 6 chances. So just hold on to him. Maybe after this game week, you can sell him. But Nottingham Forest at home, you fancy your chances for a clean sheet, for sure. And more, for sure. For Spurs, I think Maddison was on crutches. Doesn't look good. I think if you're on crutches, it'll be like a minor miracle if he comes on to play in game week 3. So yeah, just keep a note if you have your own Maddison.
The thing with Spurs I really like is the next 3 game weeks. I think... But then, if you want to bring in players from Spurs, you're just bringing in players. I mean, you're not going to bring in Maddison. I mean, Maddison is on crutches after this game, right? So, I mean, there are options of bringing in Richarlison, Son, and Kulusevski. I think those are the 3 main attacking assets. I mean, we can also consider defensive assets.
Kulu didn't look good. Really? Think he looks weird. I think when he first started, right, he was on fire. But I think right now, I think defenders have figured him out. He doesn't look as clinical as he once was. I think even Sun also. I don't think you should go to Sun or Kulu. I think even if Maddison is alright, I don't think you should get Richarlison as well. Because like Lo Celso will play or something. And yeah, I think Meadow is the key. If Meadow is out, I wouldn't go anywhere near any Spurs assets.
At all. Okay. That's interesting.
Not very.
I was actually
Richarlison didn't look good, so he didn't help himself. Right.
Yeah. So I mentioned Richarlison as my differential pick from last week. But I think watching this game, he hasn't. There wasn't anything seen from him. I think he was even subbed out. Right, zero shots.
Zero shots.
Yeah, as a striker, I mean, you don't want to see your striker getting zero shots. I mean, I think that's not great. So I would say that Kulusevski and Son, I think, will be. I would pick them over Richarlison. It's funny you mentioned that not to go for Kulusevski because I think later in a later segment he'll be my differential pick. Okay. Spoiler alert.
Okay, let's talk about Arsenal. So, quick one. Is Gabriel a sell?
Yeah, so Gabriel, for me, is not a sell this week. Tomiyasu, fortunately for Gabriel owners, have got a sent off in this game. So, that will mean that there'll be a spot there to be played. So, I mean, people are saying that they can play Zinchenko instead of Gabriel. But I do think that they won't play Zinchenko because that would mean that both Zinchenko and Partey will be inverting in the system. That's not a system that I think works at all.
There's still Kiwior inverting.
So I think Gabriel, if Kiwior gets in over Gabriel, I think that's an issue.
But if Kiwior a left back or a centre back?
He's a centre back. He's left footed centre back.
So Gabriel already last game.
Good move by you to do that. So I just want to discuss just quickly potential. I mean, I feel like Gabriel long term is a sell. I just want to discuss quickly maybe alternatives for Gabriel. So I think the first one, I think the most obvious one will be Saliba. I think it's just a like for like Arsenal replacement. But personally, I wouldn't go there. even as an Arsenal fan, I wouldn't go there because it feels like how Arteta sets up the Arsenal defense, right, is that he picks players depending on the opponent. I think he's just trying to follow what Pep did last season. Depending on who's more suited to play the game, I think he will set up his defense accordingly. All right, so even Saliba, I don't think he's nailed. I think the most nailed Arsenal defender, I think, will be White. He's at 5.5 million. Second would be Saliba. So I wouldn't necessarily go to Saliba as a Gabriel replacement. I think I would look outside of Arsenal. I think on top of that also, right, I feel like with this system, three at the back, watching the Arsenal game, I think they still look vulnerable. So they look very susceptible to fast breaks from the other team. And it's always like when there's a fast break, it's always 3-on-3. It looks kind of dangerous. Like every time there was a fast break, I felt that Crystal Palace could get something from it. Yeah, so I wouldn't really go there. I wouldn't really go to Arsenal defender. Yeah. So I think the obvious replacement is Saliba, but I personally wouldn't really go there. So do you have any other options?
Yeah. For, so firstly, if you don't have Chilwell, you just find the money to go to him first if you still don't have him, because even though he got subbed out in the 60th minute, he basically played left wing and the fixtures and all, I think you go to him. Secondly, I think I'll go with Man City defenders. I think you look at the fixtures, I'll gamble with
Vardiola, I suppose, yeah.
Yes, correct. So yeah, I'll gamble with him.
Because Vardiola is the only one that's still at 5 million. So I think you can do that swap straight and just hope that he doesn't get rotated as much. Even if he's rotated, maybe you just hope that he doesn't get subbed on for that 1 point. Yeah, so just on top of Vardiola, also, right, I think I'm also looking at two other assets. So the first asset is Botman. Botman, after he plays Liverpool in game week 4, right, I think he will have a easier run of fixtures. I think he plays Brentford and Brighton, but I do still think that Newcastle is a good defensive team. So you can bring Botman in as a Gabriel replacement. It's only 4.5 million. All right, so I think Botman is one you can bring in, because Gabriel, you don't have to sell him this game week. You can sell him next game week. Right, so I think in terms of fixtures, it's good in that sense. And I think the last defensive assets that I might want to mention is just Spurs asset. There's 4.5 million defenders. Van de Ven, Romero and Udoji. So you can get just three of them and then use that 0.5 million elsewhere to replace Gabriel.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't go Spurs defense because they won't keep clean sheets. I think they considered like 4.3 XG for the first two games. And Emerson Royal played well and he got rotated by Pedro Porro. We could see the same for Udoji also. So yeah, I think I'll just stay out Spurs. Okay, one more thing on Arsenal, right? As a Martinelli owner, right, I'm thinking, oh man, Trossard might play in game week 3, where he didn't come on. I'm semi afraid. Do you think that is justified?
As in what, he'll start the game instead of Martinelli?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that he really rest Trossard.
I'm disappointed that your star boy gave away a chance to score a goal, man. What are your thoughts on
that? Away, yeah. Not sure. So apparently it was a decision on field. Yeah, so
It's not a manager decision. So
yeah. Let's see how that develops in the penalty front. I think with penalty taken out from Saka, I think he might be less of an asset.
Correct. So now Odegaard comes onto the table for sure.
We'll see how that develops.
Okay. Speaking of Gabriel, he might drop in price soon. So if you own him, just take note. But also for price changes, right? So FPLstatistics.co.uk, right, is a price prediction site. So if a player is more than 100, he will most likely rise in price. And likewise, if you press last on the site, right, when a player is negative 100 or worse, he will most likely fall in price. So price changes happens like 9:30 a.m. Singapore time every morning. So what I'll do is I'll set alarm at 9:20, 10 minutes before. So that's what I did on Sunday. That's why I sold Yao Pedro, because Yuan Wissau was like 107, so he will definitely rise in price, and he did rise in price. So yeah, so one caveat, right, is this site will reflect transfers from a wild card. However, right, the main site, right, will not take into consideration transfers from a wild card in price changes. So the predictions may not be as accurate, especially in a game week where a lot of people are wild carding, right? the prediction side may not be as accurate, but other than that, right, it's pretty accurate. So that's one thing to take note if you are still unsure about this price prediction.
I think one more thing I just want to add is that with price changes, right, I feel like it's more important in terms of team value at the start of the season, but I think it's less important towards the end of the season. So I think if you want to make use of price rises, I think earlier at the start of the season, maybe this few first 10 game weeks, I think that's the where you really catch the price rises. But personally, if you follow the pot, it's not something that I'm really going for. I think I will just assess the assets I have with the price changes, because I value not making early transfers and getting the early transfers not work out because of an injury or something. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be the transfer you bring in, because you have 11 players in your team. Any 11 of them could get injured in training or anything, or have a midweek game and then get injured in the midweek game. So that's something I rather wait towards the end and then transfer them. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the next segment of the menu where we have a differential pick less than 5%. So I'll go first. So my pick is Josko Vardiol. So I mentioned him earlier. So he's only 4.1% owned as of this morning. I haven't checked just before the pod. So it's 5 million. So I think Man City defense, right, they only have conceded more than one goal since January. And that is where they conceded 2 against Spurs. And they still won 4-2. So I think with the fixtures coming up, right, I still think... They are the best team. They have Sheffield, Fulham, West Ham, Forest and Wolves in the next 5. I wouldn't be surprised if we see at least 4 clean sheets. So yeah, I think Vardiol is the one to go.
Yep. Yeah, so for me, I kind of hinted really just now. I actually wanted Sun. Sun is actually 5.8%. He was 5.9% at the end of the game week, then he slowly dropped down to 5.8. I think maybe next week he'll be less than 5. I don't know. Yeah, but because Sun isn't available, Kulusevski is in my differential pick of this week. I think he's 4.3 or 4. I can't remember now, but he's definitely below 5. Yeah, I just want to make a mention that I think I would like to erase my differential pick from last week, which is Charleston. I think watching him.
Well, you
in
can't
this
do that,
game.
How can you?
As in, like, I'm trying to like give another asset from the same team to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I think the reason why I pick is because of the 3 next fixtures for Spurs. I think if there's any fixtures that you, I mean, if you want to play the fixtures, I think Spurs is a good team to play the fixtures. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our team. So I'll start first. So on Friday night, I think I made a last-minute decision to sell Gabriel for Rico Henry. So I read a lot of analysis, great analysis on Gabriel.
Which worked out for you, I
kind of bought it. Actually, initially, I really bought it. I got a feeling he was dropped. But after reading up a lot on these breakdowns, right, I was like, okay, I think it's enough worry for me to sell. So I bought Rico Henry. He's a net positive. He got 5 points. And also, he also rose in price. So it's a win-win. So, yeah, that's my transfer for game week 2. So, my game week was a car crash. 40 points. So, I dropped from like 1 million to 2.6-ish. So, yeah. So, 40 points. I got 4-4-2, Turner in goal. Chilwell, Estupinian, Henry, Shaw, Captain Salah, Saka, Rashford, Martinelli, Haaland, and Yao Pedro. So, my bench was Archer, Nakamba, and Bayer. So, looking at this game week 2, right, I really made a transfer. So, Sunday morning, as I said, even watching the game on Saturday night, I was thinking, okay, I think Yao Pedro, I keep thinking Yao Pedro is a must sell, because I don't have a good bench. And I have 0.5 from selling Gabriel to Henry, right? So if I were to sell Yao Pedro, right, if I were to get Jackson or Alvarez, right, I would have needed to take a hit. So Wissa was my only guy I was thinking of Saturday night. And on Sunday morning, the alarm, 10 minutes before 9:30, I saw Wissa 107. I'm like, oh shit, I have to make a decision now. So I just put the trigger Sunday night. And yeah, so Wissa is in my team.
Did he rise in there?
He did.
Yep. Okay. Great.
He's 6.1 now.
Okay.
So 107. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you run through your team? Maybe you run through your team.
Yeah. So so my team is similar. So Pickford, 4-4-2. So Pickford, Chilwell, Estupinian, Henry, Shaw, Salah, Saka, Rashford, Martinelli. So I captain Haaland, and Wissa is my other striker. So my bench is Bayer, Nakamba, and Archer, and Matt Turner.
Yeah. So one thing I want to ask you is, are you afraid of the not having any 6.5 million midfielders, the one that we mentioned earlier?
Actually, right, I'm semi hoping that one of my midfielders get injured. I will buy Foden for it. I wouldn't even go for the 6.5 actually. I really want Foden. I think he was my pick from day one, right? I'm like secretly hoping like Martinelli picks up a knock or something, and it's worth the hit lah. But right now it's not worth a hit. But I think I'm more scared of Foden than the 6.5.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just run through my team. I just did marginally better than you. I think I got a green arrow because of how bad my game week one went. So I still had a green arrow because of that. Yeah. So anyway, my team, 44 points. I started up in a 4-4-2. I picked a differential captain in Trent Alexander-Arnold. Because I
can't believe you went there.
I thought for sure that Liverpool would keep a clean sheet, but 3 minutes in, it was gone. So bad, man.
Yeah. I still can't believe, and I know you said it on the pod. I still can't believe because you had to fit Salah and you had to fit Haaland also. You had to fit two like popular. I can't believe you.
Yeah, I think
had the balls to go there.
Like away to Newcastle. I didn't have Salah, so it didn't matter to me. Because it was only against Haaland. Haaland away to Newcastle against a strong Newcastle defense. I thought my baseline was 6 points. You know, like TA would definitely get 6 points.
Even no DM though, you didn't consider that. You rate our defense too high, bro.
Okay, so anyway, my team was Shaw, Gabriel, Estupinian, TAA. My midfield was Rashford. I got two menu midfielders, like Rashford and Fernandes, not so great. Saka and Mitoma. Up front I got Haaland and Watkins. So how I'm gonna set up for next week, I think for sure I'm gonna get Trent Alexander-Arnold out. He's yellow flagged, but he's also playing against Newcastle next week. Yeah, so I think I'm gonna bring in for sure Chilwell, because I think Chilwell is a very good fixture against Luton. I think a lot of people have Chilwell also, so I'm going for the EO move. I have another transfer to make. I think that transfer would definitely be to move Dango up out. Right, but the thing is, I would have preferred getting Foden in, like you said, then go to Foden, but I don't have the cash. I mean, if I did all these transfers, TAA to Chilwell and then go to Foden at the start of the season, I could have done that. But because of all the price changes, I think I cannot afford Foden.
Then go drop, right?
Yeah, then go drop. I think Chilwell also rose in price, so I wouldn't get the maximum price. So I'm just considering what I want to do at the moment. I can't decide. Maybe I'll just go for a safe Embremo pick. And
bench Gabriel.
Yeah, so I'll bench Gabriel then if I were to get Embremo.
Let's go with that. Let's go
So then maybe in the future, because Manu plays Arsenal next in game week 4, then maybe Bruno. Maybe I sell Bruno Rashford, depending on how well I'll assess them again, and then I'll see how well they do. Maybe I'm looking at bringing Foden in.
Foden.
Alright, actually I could bring Sterling in also for my move. Then go to Sterling. So that could be interesting. It, yeah.
No, like Embremo.
I don't know. We'll see.
You hate Sterling, bro. I don't think you should go. You should put yourself through the pain, extra pain. You hate the player and you bring him. You hate him more if he blanks. So yeah, don't go through the pain.
Yeah, the safe move is Embremo. So we'll see. Okay. Let's run through the mini league. I ran through the top three. In third, we have Saktivel with the team name Moment of Life FC. I don't think I have the... Yeah, okay. And then in second place, we have the fan of the pod, Salman Kinder, with the team name Kinder Embremo. I think he's been... if you followed our pod, he's been a guest in our pod and he's quite close to us.
He actually mentioned that he will do well at the start. And then fall off after. So yeah, it's actually
that seems to be the trend every season.
Yeah, because he was top three in the start of last season.
Yes,
so, right?
Yeah. We got him on the pod because he was on podium for a bit.
Maybe we should call him again and to make sure that his his demise is certain.
At the top we have Chris Chan with a team name Ronin's. He's actually managed to finish the game week with a whopping 70 points. So let me just run through his team. He started in a 3-5-2. In goal, he has Onana. And then the three in defense, Gabriel, Chilwell, and Estupinian. He actually has a crazy combination of Mitoma and March in his team. So kudos to him for starting the season with both Mitoma and March. Saka, Rashford, and he captained Salah as well.
up front, he has Haaland, and he also has Risa in his team. So he actually has Mitoma, March, and Risa. So that's how he got his 70 points. Yeah, his transfer for this week is actually going from Stones to Chilwell. Which
great transfer. Sir.
It's a great transfer, but I mean, it didn't pay off. I think didn't pay off immediately, but I think long term it's a good transfer. And it's a team Stones, that's looking good for the next few game weeks.
No, but not. I don't know. Brighton fixtures. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, he has to sell Gabriel for sure. I think that's what I'll do. Yeah.
Okay. Because he doesn't have a bench like he says. Mubama, Kabore, and Bayer in his bench. So.
Okay, I think he can play Bayer possible if he wants to roll. But okay. Yeah. Let's.
Just a quick reminder. I mean, we are running this mini league where the. Winner at the end of the season wins the Premier League jersey of choice, and we administer this prize league through our Telegram channel, and that's also where we kind of interact with our FPL community. I think we have like a 200 plus strong community there. That's where we have questions, and then we talk, interact, everything FPL.
Okay, just remember to follow us in our socials. The links are embedded in the description. We'll be podding next, I think, Monday night. We may or may not have a guess. Yeah, stay tuned to find out. And also, F1 is back this weekend. The Dutch Grand Prix is back. So if you guys are playing the F1 Fantasy, I am currently second in Singapore. We don't have a mini league, sadly, because that would be good, because I didn't know how to do this. So I think, ABK, you're doing quite well, also, right?
I'm 20, I think. I'm 20 in Singapore.
I'm second. Yeah. So my name is
FPL. I think at one point, I think you were first and I was 15, I think, in the F1 Fantasy.
So maybe
we should start the F1 Fantasy Copy Talks instead of this FPL.
Yeah.
I'm such a casual, I'm doing so well, man. I feel like a Shakir, man.
I am a casual too, bro. There's no way you can be engaged, bro. Let's get out here, man. Thanks for the part, man. It's good talking to you, man. See you next week. We're FPL Copy Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks. Right here. Right now.